Welcome to episode 3 of the Guardian Project podcast. I'm your host, Andy Fillari.
And I'm your co-host, Ryan. I'm that 2-3 term ago if you try and bolt with no instance in the graveyard. Did I just blow your mind?
That'll do it.
Please listen carefully.
And this is the podcast where we talk about all things Magic the Gathering. What are we talking about today?
Looks like we're doing some weekly recap from Modern, Pauper, some new additions there, emphasis on some. And then we're also going to do a recap on Arena.
And then maybe a little bit of Commander.
Maybe. That's a kind of cool format.
So, Arena, the Omniscience draft happened. Did you do that?
No, I'm lame. I just did the M20 drafts.
Did you? I haven't done M20 yet. It just came out yesterday.
Yeah, it was broke.
Yeah, the servers were down for a minute. Twitter was up in a flurry.
A.T. Flurry.
That's not how my last name is pronounced, but I always respond to it. Hey, Andy Flurry. Yeah.
Hey, Andy McFlurry.
McFlurry. That was high school. And still today. the Omniscience draft was you can play any card for free without paying its mana cost, but you start with a hand of 3. So when you drafted, you wanted to pull anything that would draw cards or was just ginormous or would search for other cards to go into your hand. So,
did you play Gigantosaurus?
No, I didn't draft that. I don't know if that was in the form. It wasn't a draft of everything. It was War of the Spark draft, but just Omniscience. And so I grabbed like the Tidebreaker Giant. It's like it costs 5. When it comes in, you lose a life and draw a card. So those were really good in that. Anything that essentially would draw. Narset, Part of Veils was really good for you and against your opponent. But
Narset just got out on all formats, including fake ones.
And I played against someone who drafted 2 Ignite the Beacons, and they had 4 Planeswalkers.
Boo. How do you have 4? Wow.
On turn 1.
It was good game.
I scooped. I felt like games were ending on turn 3. I enjoyed it,
though. Did you hit the auto? Nice. And then concede?
I have done that many a times.
Yeah.
Or when someone resolves, like, Command the Dreadhorde. That's another one.
Just that's
like,
another nice.
You did it.
It's a nice one.
It is a good one. And then M20, like we said, is now live on Arena. I had actually pre-ordered that bundle, so you got like 50 packs and the new Chandra Planeswalker, the six CMC one that can't be countered. I opened them yesterday, so I'm excited to start playing with some of those cards, and I'm assuming I should probably play Elementals, right? I haven't seen much, but they seem...
In draft, yeah, it's either Elementals or like Blue-White Flyers, I think, is the way to go early on.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can never go on with Blue-White Flyers. Fly.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like flying is probably the best evergreen mechanic.
Yeah, correct, yeah.
Yeah. Is Reach evergreen now? I feel like it is.
Probably.
We see it all the time, right?
Reach.
We can fact check that later. Tweet at us.
Tell us why we're wrong or right.
Yeah, right.
Mostly wrong.
Yeah, so you did an M20 draft then. How'd that go?
Yeah, I crushed it.
Did you?
Yeah.
What'd you draft?
Blue-White Flyers. Yeah.
Oh, okay, you didn't do all of
them. It's like, in Corset, I feel like it's always just go Flyers because there's like lack of good ground bodies, and I don't know.
Did you have any bombs? Or was it just like, it was like look at these stupid 1/1s and 1/2s that I have?
It was like literally like a popper deck with flying, like... It was all commons and uncommons. I think I might have opened like a Sorin, just stashed it for value later.
You know the value of that Sorin with the white blue flyers.
Exactly.
Wrong color. Yeah. Wrong everything. Is there a flying vampire that is in white blue?
Yeah. Expecting blue white flyers and get hit with a Sorin.
Oof. That'd be
oofa doofa.
That would be one to not anticipate, I guess. You have to have...
Wait, so you, Sorin would look at the top 3 cards of your library and you choose one?
Yeah.
The rest of the bottom?
Are you playing 1 swamp for that?
Yes.
And getting lucky for drawing it? Or does Sorin sit in your hand the entire game and you go, well, I guess I'm not playing this? Because that's how I play limited.
It's literally 1 card. I stare at my hand.
I play the wrong amount of lands at all times.
Yep.
Pauper. It's now a real format. Well, I guess it was real before. It's now a real official format. Supported by Wizards.
Wizards of the Coast.
So you work at a game shop. Are you guys planning on doing more Pauper? Has anybody said anything about it to you? I know you guys do one, right? It's like Sundays or something like that right now?
Yeah, we do it once a month. We get, you know, a pretty decent turnout. We haven't heard much interest, but I think once we post our event for next month, we'll probably get a little bit more anticipation because, you know, there's literally, what, 400-something cards that they just added?
Yeah, yeah. So they added, I think it was 415 cards, and it said that it was basically syncing the online format to the in real life paper format. So it added these cards, and as of July 9th, you'll be able to use the Gatherer to fully search for any card that is legal in Pauper. And basically added any card that was ever printed at Common in paper or online to the format. So there were a lot of Common printings in paper that weren't Common printings on Magic Online, and that's what this did.
Right, because Moto or Magic Online started in 2001, 2002, and they just never went back and added like older sets and like rarities. They always only did Master sets for that.
Right, right. So of those new cards, which ones are you excited to look at the most, or do you think we'll likely see play?
Well, right off the bat, probably Red Elemental Blast, Blue Elemental Blast. Does the same thing as Hydro and Pyro, but it just opens up further options for people who are maybe priced out of the other ones. But the card that I'm most excited for is Ashnod's Altar, because it's like having KCI and Pauper.
Wait, what is it? How is it KCI? I mean, doesn't KCI also bring things back?
No, KCI just says sacrifice an artifact, add two colorless mana.
This was just a creature, I guess.
Yeah, sacrifice a creature, add two colorless mana. But if you have... It combos pretty well with Workshop Assistant, which is like the Mirror Retriever version, except it costs three. And you just kind of can loop that.
For infinite mana?
Pretty much, yeah.
What do you play it into?
Good question.
In Common. You can't play it into... There's no like... Is there a Walking Ballista version of a Common? Is Ugin's Conjuring a Common? No, it's got to be an uncommon, right?
There's
got to be something silly that just has X in it, right?
Oh, I guess you can do...
I mean, all I'm really seeing is... So you could use that back into an Alabaster Potion. So target player gains X life or prevent X damage. So you can just gain the infinite life, and then as long as you have less cards in your library, your opponent just decks themselves.
Yeah, is Elixir of Immortality legal in Pauper? I think it's an uncommon. There's got to be something that recycles your library, or cards into your library, I should say.
I can look it up. Immortality is a... Wait for it. Wait for it. It's an uncommon in every single set that it's in. Magic 11, 12, 13, 14, and the dual deck Elspeth vs. Tezzeret. It is uncommon every time. So you can't use that. There's got to be something. We'll have to look it up and circle back to this next week and figure out what you can use to break the Ashnod's Altar loop next week.
Tweet at us, because we don't know what we're doing.
You're right. And also, Modern Horizons is out, so we can... I don't know if we're going to see anything in Pauper from Modern Horizons, but I did see that the Arkham's Astrolabe is being played in a ton of Pauper decks, alongside a ton of Snow Permanents with Scred, because Scred got better now, because there's other things that care about Snow Permanents now.
Right, yeah, before Scred was just played in Blue-Red Delver, I think. I mean, I'm sure there might have been some other minor archetypes, but
yeah,
that was the main one that I see was put in.
There's a Jeskai Snow deck, and it uses Scred, but it also plays Arkham's Astrolabe, and then... I think that's really the only card that it's using. I don't know. I think the only thing that really cares about the Snow Permanents is Scred. I don't see That and then Arkham's Astrolabe needs the snow, just a snow mana. So it can be played in this deck, and it has, when it enters the battlefield, draw a card, and then tap to add one mana of any color. So I guess it's ramp in snow.
Frosty the snow mana.
Frosty the snow mana. Moving on from Popper. Modern. Yeah, we're going to modern.
Modernistic.
Simple and quick. I don't think we can sing that. You should probably cut that out. I'm like, I don't know. Can we? Because no one knows the rest of the words. Is it something called carpet and upholstery? I think that's the lyrics. I am not Googling those lyrics, though.
Why not? We had to Google the main content of our program.
Free advertise. You know what, Modernistic? If you want to sponsor us, we got you. We'll sing that catchphrase for you every week.
Okay, so moving on to Modern. Andy, do you play Modern?
I have three decks in Modern. I have Boggles, which is, I mean, it's a real deck. It's boring to play, though, which is the problem. And then I have Merfolk, which is doing okay right now. And then I have the Revolt Zoo deck built from when that was popular. It's really just Zoo, but it has the Revolt card. When a permanent leaves the battlefield, this one, if a permanent left the battlefield, it comes in with a +1/+1 counter, and it has Death Touch. So I think it becomes a 2/3 Death Touch instead of a 1/2 Death Touch. I don't know. It matters, and I like it a lot. But I play completely fair decks that aren't just... I guess Boggles is not fair, so I guess I can't really say that. But I play less broken decks than most.
Yeah, I play Jund. It's the fairest of the fair. It's the Cinderella of Magic decks. Just super fair.
Did the glass slipper fit?
It did.
And so you bought it?
Yeah. I just spent a lot of money on Renin 6 and Seasoned Pyromancer, but here we are.
Did you buy the Pyromancers after they shot up in price?
No, I got them pre-spike. I mean, they were still, $15-$20.
I mean, they're at over 30 now, right?
They're closing on $30.
Oh, yeah. they're at 30.
Yeah.
So what is happening other than Hogak?
Hogak
is happening.
The old Hogak.
That is what is happening.
So there are two major events this weekend for Modern. One was SCG Pittsburgh, which was a team open. It was not unified, so there's actually a couple teams that were running triple of the same deck, which I thought was pretty hilarious.
What were they playing three of?
Well, I think I have to go back and look, but I think Cat Light's team was playing triple Blue-Red Phoenix, I think, maybe triple.
I mean, that's probably a pretty good team, right?
Yeah.
I assume they did okay, though.
Yeah, it's like play three spells and you got infinite 3/2 flyers, it seems like. But there's also Magic Fest Dallas, which was just a regular old Modern.
Dallas-Fort Worth. And that was Modern?
That was Modern, yeah. So we had, two major events to draw data from. Unfortunately, Channel Fireball, as of filming this podcast, they didn't release day two information for... GP Dallas, so I don't really have much information other than top 8. But going through the data from Pittsburgh, the most heavily represented deck in the field was the Is It Phoenix deck at 33%. Now, okay. Also, I mean, again, taking into consideration that this was not unified, so you didn't have to worry about sharing cards.
Sure.
And like I said, there were some teams just running triple of the same deck. But Phoenix was 33% of the field, and then Hogvine, which is the Hogak...
Who's calling it Hogvine? Is that trademarked by you?
I mean, I can't claim it, but that's when I'm gonna start calling it Hogvine, Pigvine.
Is that so? And that was how much? What was that?
That was a 16.7%, almost 17% of the field. So one out of
30
decks.
Plus, and then 16%, and then the rest was just a spread of.
Then actually, just below that was humans, and then other was. The other spread, I guess, at another 17%. So heavily represented for Phoenix, which is great because everybody always likes to claim that that deck's not, fun to play against. And but it got a lot of upgrades from Modern Horizons. Yeah, it got Fire Islet, which is the Horizon Land, as they're calling it, those kids, blue-red. They also got Aria Aflame, which...
Is it Aria Aflame?
Arya Stark of Flame.
Arya Stark Aflame.
Yeah.
What does that one do again?
So when it enters the battlefield, each opponent gains 10 life, and then every time you cast an instant or sorcery spell, you put a verse counter on it, and it deals damage equal to the number of verse counters a target player or planeswalker.
Are you actually giving them the 10 life, or is there something that's preventing them from getting the 10 life first, or you actually don't care if they get it?
So it's actually not necessarily about life, it's more about the storm, because like... Phoenix is very susceptible to graveyard hate, but now they can just literally pump their cantrips in the late game or just, you know, go off early and kill somebody. But they don't have to worry about their graveyard getting hit with Phoenixes, you know, a bunch of Phoenixes in it. They can just basically storm you out of the game.
Wow. Yeah. Well, that's nice. But no one's talking about that because all anybody complains about is Hogak right now.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all anybody is talking about. That and Twitter wants to ban Faithless Looting.
Yeah.
Twitter could ban a card, it's Faithless Looting right now. But like 6 months ago, it was Ancient Stirrings.
Yeah, it was Ancient Stirrings, and then KCA got the axe for that. And then even before Hogak, it was, we need to ban Arc Like Phoenix or something out of that
deck. Do you think going to bans is becoming a more prevalent thing? I mean, banning isn't good.
Unfortunately, I don't know if Wizards test. I know they said they were going to try it. I don't know if they test for Eternal formats or
I don't think they do.
Or non-rotating formats. So stuff just kind of slips through the cracks, and it's like bans have to happen.
I mean, they had to have done it, though, for Modern Horizons, right? Because they have a playtest team. I assume the playtest team was probably on that because it was going directly into Modern, which means I assume they would have to have looked at those cards.
Yeah, I mean, clearly they added cards for specific archetypes. Like, they're just not gonna, you know, create cards out of the blue. Like, there wasn't really necessarily things that powerful enough cards to create new archetypes. You know, obviously they put stuff in for filler. Like,
what if we unbanned Treasure Cruise? It'd be so good. I could draw my three cards. Drawing cards is the best thing in Magic.
No, that would make Phoenix way too over the top.
It's okay.
Just because you want to play Treasure Cruise in your commander decks, like, you can't translate it over to Modern.
Okay, so the next Modern deck that I build, should I play Treasure Hunt? That deck is ridiculous as well.
No, I play Lost in the Woods, where it's just all forests and then Lost in the Woods.
What does Lost in the Woods do? I have heard of Lost in the Woods, but
it's whenever an opponent casts a spell, you reveal until you hit a forest or something.
And are you just winning the game then off? So yeah, it's three green. Whenever a creature attacks you or a planeswalker you control, reveal the top card of your library. If it's a forest, remove that creature from combat, and then put the revealed card on the bottom of your library. So how do you win? They just mill their deck.
Yeah, pretty much.
That is the dumbest thing I've ever. I would play that.
Yeah, though. One of my customers built, like, that was like their intro to Modern deck. It was 4 Lost in the Woods and then 56 Forests. And I think they just sideboarded in 15 Forests for against, like, Mill.
So do you just have to, I guess you're going to mull until you get a Lost in the Woods and hope to God you, because you don't care about going down to one land as long as you get this on turn 5.
Yeah.
But you're going to die before turn 5.
Probably, especially like Phoenix, where they just don't care. They're just gonna
that or Hogak,
Arya Stark, you to death.
Yeah, that's fun. I would play that. What is the other? There was another deck that I wanted to in Modern, and it was really.
Is it Humans?
No, I don't know Modern well enough to play Humans. But didn't Humans get a new card? Are they playing Ranger Captain of Eos? Is that a card that actually they care about?
So Ranger Captain of Eos is actually seeing like way more play with Death Shadow because you just fetch a Death Shadow, and then Esper Death Shadow and Mardu Pyromancer. I'm sorry, Mardu Death Shadow are deck now. Mardu Death Shadow just actually won the SCG Open as one of the seats.
Oh really?
Yeah. Yeah, that deck looks super fun, by the way, because you can get Giver of Runes as well.
Yeah, I'm just looking at a couple right now. It looks like they added from Ravnica Allegiance deputy of detentions in here now. I haven't looked at the humans deck in.
That was in the sideboard for a while, but they started mainboarding it just because of all the. I mean, you can the ability to suck up Phoenix, I guess, even though you're kind of implies that you're taking a bunch of damage.
So, why is it playing Collector Oaf in the sideboard? It's an Oaf that has activated abilities of artifacts can't be activated. Is this just their only option to get this? I guess
it's like good against Affinity.
But is Stony Silence not better?
It just doesn't have any synergies with anything else in the deck. And does Oaf say opponents?
Artifacts.
Just artifacts?
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's because you get a 2/2 as well.
Yeah, it's just because it's a body. Like, obviously, that's how humans wins by attacking.
Oh, and the deck added Plague Engineer to the sideboard.
Yep, for the mirror. And just like random creature dark types.
Oh yeah, and like it says spirits. Creatures of your the chosen type your opponents control. Right. So you can choose humans and it not affect you.
Right.
That's kind of cool, but it's a creature type carrier.
Carrier,
not a just how
it's an old running back. It's a Le'Veon Bell of magic cards.
Tribal carriers. Tribal that's carriers. That's what I'm gonna build. In Commander. Moving to Commander. What are you playing in Commander right now?
My main squeeze, I think, right now is Rune. Like, Nick got me, our friend got me onto that deck.
Rune of the Hidden
Realm, yeah.
So Brian has Rune.
Blinky, blinky.
And we have two buddies that have Rune. So we have three Rune decks at the table. It hasn't happened yet, RuneScape. But I was like, I don't think I can play against this. How does one play token decks, which is what I play, against three Rune decks?
I'm going to blink a token and don't come back.
Yeah, I would just, there's no way. I don't know. What, do I play Null Rod? Is that activated abilities of...
That's artifacts, I think.
Oh, it's artifacts?
I think so, yeah.
There's got to be something that says you can't just activate artifacts, or activated abilities just can't be activated.
Torpor Orb, which would stop the... Enter the
ETB?
Yeah, the ETB, yeah.
Effect so creature, so I'd have to stack every deck to play against triple Rune in that game. Nope, won't be doing that. So, and then... So you just built Rune.
Yeah, what are you playing?
I'm really enjoying the Locust God still.
Yeah?
Yeah, I
mean, after all this time?
It's still going. I added the... I'm a monster. And I added Narset Parter of Veils to it. And then I wheeled the other day and I got a double scoop.
Scoops McKenzie.
It actually feels bad, like, doing it. And I think I'm going to take it out. Like, if I wanted to win... It's a good card to be in there, but like playing casually, you just probably shouldn't play that card with friends.
Are you going to take it to Magic Fest for side events? Because that's like the good excuse for Commander to be mean is like random people from like out of town.
No.
Welcome to Detroit. Bye.
Well, to be fair though, when you go to those, the number of times I've lost on like turn three, you just lose. Because the number of people that play the side events with a CEDH deck and not just a normal deck is ridiculous. Mm-hmm. I lost to Kess Storm three times at GP Detroit last year, and then I just played with friends at a side table after going to all of the stores or all of the vendors and buying whatever it was that I wanted and needed. So no, I did not. I don't think I'm gonna play. I think if I were to play the only competitive deck, like real competitive that I have, and it's mean is Narset Enlightened Master, and it's
so enlightened.
So, but you take like 14 turns and you have to swing for 14, 3 damage.
Yeah, 14 times.
And hope you get there. So, are you looking at anything new to build from what we've seen? Well, Commander 2019 stuff should be coming out in the next like 3 or 4 weeks. Like the preview season, I think, starts the first week of August.
Oh, you're talking about Commander?
Yeah, Commander 19.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, so I don't know. From what I've seen, it sounds like we're getting 4 decks.
Yeah, I was going to say there's 4 new decks, so they're just going to do like 2 and 3 color decks again like they did last year?
I don't know. Do you think we're going tribal? Do you think we're getting snow?
Like in Michigan? Yes.
I wish. It was 99 degrees yesterday, and I went on a bike ride and thought I wasn't going to make it home. It was too hot.
I've been trying to mow my grass at my house for like the week and a half, and it's like taller than I am.
Yeah, because it's too hot outside.
It's too hot, and then it rained yesterday, so it's super humid.
Do you know people enjoy this weather?
Those people are sick and need to seek help.
They do. I liked when it was minus 41 over the winter.
Oh, why? Why are you like on the extreme negative weather side?
I'm cool with it. Okay. I would be okay with it being like 75 and overcast with a breeze. So like it's on the cold side, but you can still wear shorts. What's with a hoodie.
I think my perfect, what was it, April 26th?
Are you trying to quote Miss Congeniality right
it's
now?
It's like, it's not too hot, not too cold, and you can bring a sweater.
I love that movie.
My fiance is obsessed with that movie.
Was that Miss Rhode Island? I feel
it was
like
her.
Yeah, it's
we're
it's
getting
Miss,
confirmation from our producer.
Yeah, it's Miss Rhode Island. Did you ever see the Miss Congeniality 2 where they were in Las Vegas? Ugh, that movie is great as well.
Like, I mean, great, if they, or are you just like just
I,
entertaining?
It's just entertaining. I would watch another one if they had Miss Congeniality 3, which I think would do really well if they did it.
Was William Shatner in the second one?
Yes. Yes, he was.
I might have to watch that. That sounds.
It was very good. They had to dress in drag at one point, and they.
Wow, ahead of the time.
They were on stage. Yeah, they had to perform because they were undercover, and they needed to like find some information out from somebody at a drag show. It was. I would watch that. I should go watch that later. I'm sure it's on demand. I'm sure you could find it
probably
anywhere.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a great movie. Back to Commander. Do you have a pet deck that you just. You won't disassemble because you just love it so much, but you know it like it's not that great.
I had a couple. One I just like. So my first one was Purr and Toothy, the partner from Battle Bond.
Mm-hmm.
I just kept trying to make that deck work, and just kept adding like as many expensive cards as possible. Just didn't work. But now I'm working on Hazoret Planeswalkers.
Mono red
planeswalkers, baby.
Just all of them?
Yeah, it's like literally I'll be like sorting through like bulk, and I looked at a Tybalt and like I can't even go with this, but you know, I have like Koth. I put it in there.
You're getting all the new Chandras right now. There's that you just got three new ones, so I guess
this is like it's progressively just going to turn into mono Chandras.
Mono Chandra. Well, I'm excited to see that. I have my Noyandar deck that I'm not taking apart. It's almost fully foiled. I am two cards away from it being fully foiled.
That doesn't sound like a meme pet deck. That just sounds. I just have my stock portfolio in this foil deck.
Well, Monastery Mentors just shot up, so I was like, do I pull that out? No, I'm not. I don't. I still need it.
Yeah, I was going to.
One day it'll be reprinted, I guess, but I would assume that card's good. But
it wouldn't surprise me if that'd be like a Judd foil one day.
Or another Modern Masters or whatever next specialty set they come out with so they can get more of them in print. But no, I'm two cards away that can be foiled, and I have one card that can't be. I play Equinox in there, and it just was never printed in foil. But it's not reserve list, so it could be one day. But I can't imagine the standard that has an enchantment for one white that says enchant a land, and that land can be tapped to counter a spell that would destroy a land you control, because they got rid of that. So I can't imagine that will ever be printed again, but Wizards, please do that so I can have it in foil.
Just take one of those like gel pens and just highlight around
outline
it.
Yeah. Can we do the rainbow gel pen that like as you write it becomes just every color?
Yeah. Totally.
No, I had someone say that you should do the reverse foil, and someone like peels the foil off of one card and sticks it onto the other one. I can't imagine how many foil cards you have to ruin before you get it right one time. And it is a really old card. Not that I wouldn't be able to find them, but I assume that I'd have to buy like 10 of them to ensure that one of them makes it. I think that's a bad idea. But the two that I need is Mana Vault and Mana Crypt. And I was like, well, that's a budget restriction.
Yep.
Although Mana Crypt, it's only $20 more for a foil than a non-foil, but no one will trade up.
No.
No one will trade me for the non-foil. I said, if you don't use it, why are you keeping it? Well, it's foil, But if you're not using it, I'll give you this one, and I'll give you, I mean, I would even pay more. If anybody on Twitter has one that they want to get rid of it, just, you know, tweet at me.
I'm just saying.
I'll pay you a little bit more for it because I need it. I still want to pay $240 for one card.
No, but you'll pay like $50 or something.
Well, I'd give you the non-foil and plus like $50 or something.
Yeah.
I mean, I would do that.
And a crisp high five. Like, that's a deal sealer.
That, yeah. Again, Magic Fest Detroit, 2 weeks. Listen, show up. Say hi.
Maybe if no one out there in the Twitter land will help, we could probably sucker some vendor into doing it.
Maybe. I don't know.
I don't know.
That'd be a really good deal, though, so I don't know if they would do it.
I don't know. I feel like, I could be wrong, but I feel like vendors sell more non-foils, and they just have, like, foil, like, expensive stuff on display.
Yeah. I hear you.
Yeah.
So, I think that brings us towards the end of our agenda here.
Well, it's the day before. What do you got plans for on the 4th?
So we're going to go over to my parents' house for a little bit. They have a pool, so we're going to swim some, and then we're going to a buddy's house. He's having a barbecue, so nice. We have that. And then, and most importantly, I also have Friday off of work, so that was the end of my work week.
I really just want to sing Rebecca Black's Friday right now.
Go for it. It used to get stuck in my head, but it doesn't anymore.
I can't do that to the people.
We appreciate that, but you already said it, so they're probably already humming it. So
I hope if they're not humming it, if they're too young, they'll probably just Google that, and you're welcome.
Oh, there can't be people too young to not know that song.
That was classic.
Like that classic. That was like, what, 6 years ago, or was it longer than that?
It was this decade, so I guess in the era of YouTube.
Yeah. I mean, that would be a pretty cool present, though, for your parents to pay for you to just have a song written and you get a music video that becomes a meme song and you are just known. I mean, where are those places at? Those are probably California. That's probably where that was produced, I assume. Producer, yeah. Ryan, can you write a song and produce it for us? A meme song?
Called Thursday.
Yeah.
Or Wednesday, or that when we film or shoot podcasts.
Yeah, yeah. We always record on Wednesday, so it has to be it's Wednesday. It could almost be the same lyrics. I don't know if you're allowed to do that, but it's a different word. So, you know, we'll work on that. What do you have going on for the 4th?
Working on my house. That's it. Next 2 days, it's just hard work.
You have to go out there with like a scythe to cut down your grass first so that you can pick that up and then mow the rest of it.
No, I'm going to get one of those like super old school hand mowers where it's like, you know, just powered by your motion.
My parents' neighbor, they have like one of the mini Ryobi lawn mowers, and my parents are like, the thing is like 12 inches wide and it takes them like 7 hours to cut their front yard. He's like, I get it, but you couldn't have gone with one that was any bigger than that. Just that was,
hey, budget concerns. I don't know.
I guess maybe they just like to be out in the heat.
So, I mean, maybe that's why some people don't have Swiftfoot or only have Swiftfoot boots as opposed to Lightning Greaves, you know, $2, $8.
Like, I mean,
that's the Swiftfoot boots of real life. You
of
know?
The Swift,
the 12 inch Ryobi.
The 12 inch Ryobi is the Swiftfoot boots of lawnmowers.
Yeah. I got the Craftsman, I got the Lightning Greaves that I inherited from my father-in-law, so.
Oh, perfect. That's the best way to get a lawnmower.
I know. I got the Dynasty mode going.
I love the hand-me-down lawn equipment. Actually, that was the most expensive part of moving, was having to, like, buy a vacuum. And, yeah. I didn't have a broom and a dustpan. And we're like, let's run to Twitter. We didn't run to Twitter. We ran to Target. Let's run to Target, and then you walk out spending like $700 on things that you didn't realize you needed, but you absolutely needed.
Why didn't you just take the Twitter like you did for your Manivolt trade? I'll trade your Manivolt for a vacuum and a hammer.
If anybody has a Dyson, I'll trade you my Manivolt for it. My Mana Crypt. Well,
I don't believe in bags, but
yeah, no, we have the one that just spins it out and you dump it so you don't have to have the bags.
Oh, perfect.
Yeah. Well, sure. Thank you for joining us this week. You can find us on Twitter. You can find me at @ATFlory.
And me at @BallerB. Baller Man Cometh. I don't know why I said BallerB.
Well, you just changed it because you have said that before.
Oh, yeah.
So what is it now?
Baller Man Cometh.
Baller Man Cometh.
Hopefully it's up now.
And we're working on a hashtag. So if you have any ideas for a hashtag for our show, tweet them to us. We're hoping to get one by next week. And if you have any questions, obviously reach out to us. And we hope to talk to you soon.
Bye.
Bye. How long did we record for? Was that shorter? Oh. There's a couple minutes where you have to cut out.